Well, I want to press on in the book of Romans. Last time we did that was about 4 months ago, and so I want to start. We're supposed to start at the next verse, Romans 3:22, but I want to give a little back up just a little bit here. Romans 3:20, Paul's summary of his argument so far in the book of Romans, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, Romans so far, Paul has hammered the point home that Gentiles are sinful and fall short of God's glory in chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. And then Romans 2 is about the Jews. They were no better than the Gentiles and did the same sins that the Gentiles have done. And so they are also under the condemnation of God, just like everyone else is. And then he summarizes the whole point so far. No one is going to be justified in his sight, in God's sight, by works, by the deeds of the law. And that includes the Ten Commandments. Our obedience to the Ten Commandments will not justify anyone. No one will ever get into heaven because they kept the law. The dietary laws, the ceremonial laws, judicial laws, the Ten Commandments, there is nothing that we can do to be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I just finished a series of sermons through the Ten Commandments, and that really brought home to me, and I'm hoping it brought home to the congregation here, a number of people told me that it did, that we fall short of the glory of God, and therefore our only hope is in the blood and righteousness of Christ alone. And God is that loving, God is that gracious and wonderful to us that he gives us as a gift, the very righteousness that is divine, and that is the righteousness of God. He gives that to us, not by our law-keeping or by our works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And faith in Jesus Christ is simply receiving and resting upon Christ and his righteousness alone for salvation. So when you think about what does it mean to believe in Jesus, one of the illustrations that's probably really a real helpful one is a person who believes in Jesus does not believe in their works anymore. Meaning, if you really believe in Jesus, if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, biblically what that means is you are relying upon what he has done and not your own works to save you. And if you say you do believe in Jesus and you're also trusting in what you've done, you don't believe in Jesus. Okay? And we'll see that clearly as we go a little bit further here, especially as we get into Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, I'll just go ahead and touch on it now. It says in verse 5, "But to him who does not work," and that's actually a participle, "to the one not working, but believing on him who justifies the ungodly, his belief is accounted for righteousness." Okay, so a person who believes in Jesus is, by definition, not working to try to save themselves. If they are working and say they also believe in Jesus, Christ will be of no benefit to them, and they're a debtor to keep the whole law. But let's get back to Romans 3:20 here. "By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So the law shows us the depths of our sin because of what it demands and requires of us. The law of God requires outward conformity and inward conformity of thought, word, deed, and everything else. And he goes on there, and the whole tone of the book changes in verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." That's opposed to by law. It's through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Okay, so let's unpack this here. "But now the righteousness of God," that's a very important phrase, the righteousness of God, because it's not new in the book of Romans in that verse. It's come up before in really what is what amounts to the theme of the book of Romans. And that is verse 17 of chapter 1. "For in it," in the gospel of Jesus Christ, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. What that is referring to, the righteousness of God, is the righteous obedience of Jesus Christ to the Ten Commandments that is achieved and performed by him as a gift that he gives freely to his people by faith alone and not by their works. By definition, it's Christ's righteousness. How could our righteousness earn the righteousness of God when we're told that it's a free gift? Romans 5:17 states, "For if by the one man's offense, Adam's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So this righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel, we're told in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. What does that mean, apart from the law? That means the righteousness by which we get into heaven is apart from the law, meaning it's apart from our obedience to the Ten Commandments, our obedience to anything that's in the law of God. The dietary laws, ceremonial laws, judicial laws, Ten Commandments, nothing in the law, our obedience to it, plays any role in the righteousness of God that is given to us as a free gift. So the gospel is that, since the law cannot justify us before God, and no flesh will be justified by the deeds of the law, by trying to earn eternal life by good works or keeping the Ten Commandments, therefore the righteousness of God, not of man or of our works, but of God, apart from law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's all the way through the Old Testament. Think about the Passover lamb. What is the Passover lamb prefiguring? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. When the Israelites would slaughter that lamb and take its blood, and when they put it on the doorposts of the house, they didn't go around and get a little drop of blood from everyone's finger and mix it in there as if, well, yeah, it's the lamb plus our own suffering a little bit, the lamb plus our own works or anything. It was the Lamb of God. It was the Lamb of God. It was the sacrificial lamb. That lamb's blood is what the angel of the Lord saw and would pass over that house. It's the very same thing with us. What is it that we're relying on, that we're betting our eternity on to get us into heaven? It's the shed blood of Christ and his righteousness imputed to us, the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of God through faith, not through works, not through working, not through a covenant faithfulness, not through sanctification, but the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Not to all and on all who believe and work, but to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. When it says that, it means no difference between Jew or Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned and does not measure up to God's standard. And what is the glory of God? It is the holiness of God reflected in his law. As soon as Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, justification or being right with God or getting into heaven by our obedience to the law ceased to be possible. And that's why our only hope is that God would supply the very righteousness by which we would be justified before him on the day of judgment. He says there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely or as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're justified freely as a gift. That term doreon in Greek means without cost. Now, one of the ways I've tried to illustrate this to little kids, I've done this with the kiddos at church here and my own children at home, is when you guys get gifts for Christmas, do you immediately say, okay, now how much do I owe you? No, they all chuckle and laugh. What about for your birthday? When someone gives you a gift for your birthday, do you ask them, well, how much do I owe you for the gift? Now, if that person that gave you the gift allowed you to pay them for it, would it still be a gift? No. If anything we do procures or helps to procure or is in any way decisive in our salvation, it's not a gift. It is not a gift then. And you see, the reason it has to be a gift is because the only righteousness that has ever been achieved or performed by anyone in the entire history of the world that has the merit necessary to meet the requirement of the holiness of God is that righteousness that was achieved and performed by Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ alone. That's why the righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel, it is revealed apart from the law, apart from our obedience and our works, of any kind, even the righteousness of God, verse 22, through faith in Jesus Christ, not through our works, not through what we do, but through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If my works play any role whatsoever, any role at all in getting me into heaven, I am not saved by grace then. It is by faith in Christ, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Not by any kind of works. Not even by my best works that are produced by the Spirit of God dwelling in me. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, through the redeeming work of Jesus, through his curse-bearing, redemptive purchase of his people. When he died upon the cross, he redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Tell me, what role do we play in that? What role does my works play in doing that? None. I can't. I praise God for that. That's the only reason we have assurance, is it's totally dependent upon the personal righteousness of the Lord Jesus, the righteousness of God that is imputed to us by faith in Christ alone. So if you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, by definition, then, you can't believe in your works. You can't be relying on your works. Because by works, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. By works, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the beating heart of the Christian faith. The righteousness by which we enter heaven is revealed apart from the law. Apart from the law. And it's through believing in Jesus, not believing in our works or trying to work for it. The moment we add anything to faith in Christ as the means of getting into heaven, we destroy the gospel altogether. God only gives us righteousness as a pure gift. And the moment we try to pay something for it, the moment we try to do something to earn it or to facilitate getting it or something, it's not a gift then. The word doreon that's used there, justified freely as a gift. The term doreon means freely or as a gift, means without cost. And it's only because it's without cost, we trust in the finished work of Christ, that's how we can know that we're saved, we're justified, and we have the very righteousness of God to all and on all who believe. Do you have the righteousness of God on you? Do you have the righteousness of God in your account before God? If you don't, you're condemned. You're condemned. But if you get out of the Savior business and cast yourself solely, completely, and only upon the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel through faith in Jesus Christ, then you have that righteousness as a gift by his grace through not our works or our suffering, but through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So that's Romans 3, 20 through 24, and we'll pick up with the next verse next time we're together. Thanks for watching or listening.